today on Real Radio.
You can know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you're going to go to heaven. You can know that. Has God put it within your heart to follow Jesus with all that you got? And those of you who hear that voice in your heart, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. You're going to be going to heaven.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called A Witnessing Church, Part 4, continues now in a series called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts is the story of the first Christian church. It records the Acts of the Apostles of Jesus who were filled with the Holy Spirit and sent into ministry, not only in Jerusalem, but in Judea, Samaria, and throughout the known world. In Part 1 through Part 3 of A Witnessing Church, we learned that the Apostle Stephen spoke to the High Priest Council regarding Israel's history, and he reminded them of how their forefathers actually rejected those that God had sent previous to Jesus. Now in Part 4 from Acts chapter 7, verses 37 through 43, we'll find out how Israel refused to obey even Moses. They actually wanted a golden calf to worship, which really showed just how much their hearts had turned back towards Egypt. Today on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that as it was in the days of the early church, we live in a culture of deception. But believers who put their trust in Christ will be given eternal life, and they will be sealed by the Holy Spirit for the day of His return. And now, continuing his lesson called A Witnessing Church, Part 4, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
They assume that everybody who goes to church is going to go to heaven. Jesus says, narrow's the way and few there be that get in. And you go, well, what do I have to do to get in? Stay close to Him. Just stay close to Him. I don't worry about losing it because I want to get there. I want to follow Him. But if you want to go to heaven and you want to live with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom, and you're doing this little dance, you know, one foot here, one foot there, cha-cha-cha kind of thing, are you going to make it? I don't know if you're going to make it. It's very, very serious stuff. God promised the children of Israel to take them in, but they wouldn't go in. They wanted to do their own thing. They wanted to play. Let me ask you this. Are you sure you're born again? How do you know you're going to heaven? On what are you basing that? Listen to this. Jot this down. 1 John 5:13. This is how I know I'm going to go to heaven. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Listen. And that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. I know that I have eternal life as long as I continue to follow Him. Who gives me the strength to follow Him? He does. Your responsibility is to stay close to Him. You'll never worry about it. You won't have to worry about it. Why? Because you're near Him. It's great. It's relaxing. It's fun. Peaceful. Jot this verse down. Psalm 107, verse 2. Psalm 107, 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Hey, they can know it. They can know that they have eternal life. Turn in your Bibles right now, if you would, to John chapter 15, just a little bit to the left. John 15, verse 1. You want to have eternal security? Do what John says in verse 1 through 6. He says, I am the vine, or I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it. That means He puts you through a trial, that you may produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me. You got to circle that. That's what you got to do. Stay in Him, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, verse 5, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them together and cast them into the fire and they are burned. Let me ask you this. Is it not the branch's responsibility to stay next to the vine? Stay next to him. You don't have to worry about it. If the children of Israel would have followed him, they wouldn't have suffered destruction in the wilderness for those 40 years. You can know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you're going to go to heaven. You can know that. Has God put it within your heart to follow Jesus with all that you got? When you fall short of that, you stand back up and you say, Lord, I'm falling short. Draw me closer. And those of you who hear that voice in your heart, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. You're going to be going to heaven. You're truly born again. But Jesus warned us in Matthew 13, there are many people who believe and they even bear forth fruit. Some even produce miracles. But in the end, they give up. And that's tragic. Assurance verses, jot them down. John 6:37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and those who come to me, I will by no means cast out. Hey, that sounds pretty good. Right now, the axe can fall right into the sanctuary right now by this simple question. Based upon John 6:37, what Jesus just said, all those who come to me, I will no wise cast out. Let me ask you this. Don't respond. Do you want Jesus this morning? Or do you not want him this morning? With that question, the axe falls right down the middle of this sanctuary. And if you don't want him, then you're not saved. If you don't want him, you are not going to heaven. If you don't want him in your life and he's a big inconvenience and pretty much of a drag, then look, just go back to the world and go for it. Because if you don't want him, then he'll answer your prayer. But if in your heart this morning you say, yeah, you know what, I want God. I mean, I want to go to heaven. I want to be saved. I want to know him. Jesus says to you, I will in no wise cast you out. You're safe. Pretty black and white, isn't it? And I know this is a great message to lessen the numbers within the church. That's okay. I'd rather have you go out this place and never wanting to come back here again and hear the truth than to hear some candy-coated thing in this culture of deception. Serious stuff. John chapter 10, verse 28, he says, I will give them eternal life and they shall never perish. That's good news when you're about ready to get thrown off the pier. Ephesians 4, verse 30. I love this verse. Ephesians 4, verse 30. You were sealed by the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. It's future. I love what the Greek means. It means that I was stamped, pressed in with an insignia. Stamped. A little conveyor belt goes by, God's kids, and he says, there's Joan, Karen, Fred, Bob, Jack. Stamps me. Mine. He's mine. And wherever I go in this world, he's got that seal on my life and that seal on your life everywhere you go. That's why, listen, Christian, when you go do things you ought not to be doing, that's why you feel so crummy. You slip into that bar to get, you know, I'm thirsty. I'm just really thirsty. And you have a problem with drinking. You don't go to a bar to get a glass of water. And you walk in there and, oh, whoa, oh, and you feel that hand kind of going out there. And we talked Wednesday night about that little boy. Mother walked into the kitchen. He's got his hand in the cookie jar. She goes, what are you doing? I just have my hand in the cookie jar. I just have my hand in the cookie jar. All I have my hand in the cookie jar. Well, what's the intent? And when we sin, when we go back and play in Egypt for a moment, which is a symbol of the world, we feel so bad. And if we don't listen, there's any psychologists in the house, you got to listen to this one, which are basically all of us. If we don't repent of doing what is wrong, repent means coming before God and saying, what I just did was wrong. But we live in a society that can't say the word wrong. It's like any word but wrong. Don't say it. God says, come to me and say that you were wrong, and I'll forgive you. But if we don't do that, Christian, you walk around guilty. Isn't it funny how you discipline your child when they did something wrong? You spank them. You don't do that again. The moment that's dealt with, they're free. They feel so good. They crawl into your lap. They want you to watch cartoons with them. They're free. Why? Guilt has been removed. God is the only one who can remove guilt and that feeling of being wrong. Oh, I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have done it. Well, okay, praise the Lord. You shouldn't have done it. Tell God that you shouldn't have done it and repent and walk with them. It's that simple, and your guilt is gone. You're freed. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes, the word believe in the Greek means to rely on him, cling to him, commit fully to him, and you would not perish, but you will have everlasting life. And boy, doesn't that sound good. I wish it was for me. Well, it said whosoever. Well, I'm sure that's for everybody but me. No. It's for whosoever's. Well, I don't know if I'm a whosoever. Well, do you want him? Yeah. Then you're a whosoever. I love what Harry Ironside says. He says, you know, everyone's, how secure are we in Christ? He says, you know, when we get to heaven, we're going to walk in this door, and on the front of the door, it's going to say, whosoever, on the front. And he says, the moment you open the door and you shut the door and you walk into this incredible banquet room where the Lord is and all of your brothers and sisters in Christ, you're going to look back at the back side of the door on the inside of the room, and it's going to say, saved before the foundations of the world were ever laid. Well, whosoever? I don't know. Turn the door and walk in and see. But listen, theologically, if you want to turn the door and walk in, then you're called, you're his. Stay out of the world. You'll just get hurt, and it'll ruin you. Were these people saved? Many of them were not. They perished. And the Lord made it really clear in the book of Exodus. Very tragic. We need to wrap this up. So we'll keep going here quickly. It says in verse 41, they made a calf in those days. Moses is up on the mountaintop fellowshipping with God. And the elders are down at the base of the mountain and then the camp of the children of Israel. Moses is up there in the with the Lord. The people look around. Hey, where's Moses? I haven't seen him. He's not here, huh? No, he's not here. See, this is how their heart was. Well, if he's not here, then what keeps us from, you know, kind of goofing around? And it says in Exodus chapter 32 that they began to party. They began to take their earrings off and get all the gold together. And they came to Aaron and they said, hey, Aaron, you're the priest. We want to worship. That's what verse 41 is all about. We want to worship. And we want to worship gods that brought us out of Egypt. Now, what do you think, Aaron? I don't know. Aaron, he's the priest. He's Moses' brother. Don't you think he would have said, hey, wait a minute. He goes, well, bring me your gold. Throws the gold into the fire. They mold this calf, which is a symbol of Egyptian fertility. Guess what? Jot it down in your notes. Exodus 32, Proverbs chapter 7. They set this little golden calf in front of them. And they began to worship the calf. And it just so happens that that calf worship, I love what one commentator in my book said, that our hearts are prone to worship Egypt's sacred bull. I thought that was pretty good. The world, she got it. We have it. Where was I? They began to worship this bull, and it just so happens to be a type of worship that's extremely sensual. Well, isn't that convenient? It involves alcohol. Oh, isn't that convenient? It involves massive group sex. Well, that's pretty convenient. When Moses came down from the mountaintop, Joshua goes, man, there's like something going on down there. Moses goes, oh yeah, something's going on, all right. And he takes the Ten Commandments and he throws them down and he breaks them because they broke the first two. You shall not worship any other God but the God of heaven, and you shall not make any graven image. They broke the first two of the Big Ten. Broke them. And they went down there, and Moses began to clean up, basically, with God's help. But by the time he got there, it says in the scripture Then they arose early on the next day, and they offered burnt offerings, and they brought peace offerings. And they, now those are all things that you're supposed to give to God. And they sat down to eat and to drink, but then they rose up to play. And by the way, it ain't ping pong that they're playing. It's tough stuff. And they began to worship the god of Moloch and the god of Remphan. And you go, what? First of all, the god of Moloch is the god of sensual pleasure. In Proverbs chapter 7, there's a woman that you can read about. And fathers, I believe you should read Proverbs chapter 7 to every one of your boys. It's about a girl. And she worships foreign gods. And she's very attractive. And her husband's away on a far journey. And a little poor, ignorant guy is walking down the street who's not instructed in the ways of the Lord. And she says, hi, I've been looking for you. You're just so big and handsome and so strong. And, you know, I always had a heart for you. And besides that, my husband's away for a couple of weeks. It's exactly what it says. Won't you come up to my house? And it says, with a bold, forceful kiss, she seduced him. And she set up her bed, it says, with fine tapestries of Egypt. They had carvings. When you sew, they weaved images in there. And in the King James Version Bible, the old one, which is excellent on this, it says that she set up carved images. And that, we know this from archaeological digs, was pornography. When someone would worship, they would set the gods, these little statues in front of them, and they would go through each of those acts in their worship. It's the god of Moloch and Remphan. And so if this little statue depicted something, then they would do that. And today, it's on paper and it's in magazines. The god of Moloch. It's called pornography. And she set this guy up and she seduced him. And it says by the end, he was destroyed, pierced through his liver. I find that interesting because it suggests that he was diseased. Are you backsliding? Are you messing around? Are you doing things you ought not to be doing? I want to ask you, are you sure you're only backsliding? I hope so at the very least, because maybe you're not God's at all, God's property at all. Maybe it's time that you have gone back to Egypt. If this convicts your heart, then give it up, man. Get away from it and come back to him. But they worship. And isn't it amazing how our worship of false gods condone and encourage the very thing our flesh wants to do? Isn't that a trip? Oh, sexual pleasure. Oh, I found a god that looks past and encourages really my sexual drives. Oh boy, what a god. Maybe it's some other god. Isn't it funny how the god that you are now following with a little g is the god that condones the very thing you want to do? That's called an idol. And that's probably more prevalent now than ever before in our lives or in this age in which we live. And it says there in verse 41 that they rejoice in the works of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven. And as it is written in the book of the prophets, prophets, did you offer me slaughtered animals and sacrifices during those 40 years? Listen to this. This is heavy stuff. Moloch, the Canaanite Phoenician god. Specifically, he was the god of Venus, but of the heavens. And Remphan, the god of Saturn, and the worship equated with him. And interestingly enough, Remphan was the god that the children of Israel sought after to get daily guidance. In the Hebrew, Remphan, they looked to the constellations for guidance. Saturn being the chief god, Remphan. In the book of Job, the constellations are named the Maseroth in Hebrew. Well, do you know what they're called in Babylonian? The Zodiac. The Los Angeles Times in the Progress Bulletin calls it the horoscope. God says concerning astrology, not astronomy, astrology, your horoscope, that it is an abomination to him, Deuteronomy chapter 18, and that he will judge those who practice it. Well, it's just for fun, and sometimes it's kind of right. Yeah, I'm not going to argue with you on that. It's demonic. That's why it's sometimes right. It's the god of Remphan. Heavy, isn't it? Things haven't changed much in these thousands of years. And then finally this last point, the patience of God's infallible word. They rejected God's infallible word, and now the patience of his infallible word. Look at the end of verse 43 and we'll be done. And I will carry you away beyond Babylon. If you're a Christian this morning and you won't give things up unto the Lord and repent and follow him with all your heart and abide in him, then God in his mercy might send you beyond Babylon. What happened in Babylon to the children of Israel? They were stripped of their foreign gods and they learned again how to trust Jehovah God. Stephen is laying it on the line to these guys, and they are now busted because as he went down systematically in verses 37 to 43, he said, your patriarchs that you trust in and think such a hot shots, they rejected Moses and they worshiped foreign gods, and you guys next week, he's going to say, are doing the same thing. And it's going to cost him his life. Awesome. Be encouraged, man. When you share with the Lord, when you share the Lord with people, if they reject you, it's Jesus they're rejecting. They're not rejecting Stephen. They're not rejecting you. It's Jesus. And what an honor to be involved so close with him that we might be rejected for him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called A Witnessing Church, Part 4. Thanks for listening. And our hope is that you don't get discouraged when sharing the gospel. You know, you're not the one being rejected, but Christ who sent you. A Witnessing Church, Part 4, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, Pastor Jack, I understand you're going to Israel, and for the first time in almost 20 years, you want to open the trip up to the Real Radio audience. Can you tell us about that?
Well, it is going to be our annual trip to Israel, and it all begins on March 24th to April 4th, 2019. I'm telling you, Israel in the springtime, there's nothing like it.
So what are the dates?
March 24th to April 4th in the spring of 2019.
So what will we be seeing?
We're going to be going, first of all, to amazing sights. Of course, imagine this, actually going to the Temple Mount area of Jerusalem, the focal point of news today. We're going to be going to the Galilee. We're going to have Bible studies in key locations. We're going to be going to spots where Jesus literally walked. It's going to be an amazing trip.
Awesome. Can't wait. I hear that you actually go to those locations. We get a chance to open our Bibles and really get into the scripture regarding that particular place.
Listen, your mind is going to be blown and so will your heart, because we're going to stand in the spot with Bible open and we're going to be receiving Bible studies. We're going to be going through the Word together. My good friend Amir Serfate is going to be joining me from Behold Israel. And we're going to have a trip of a lifetime. Listen, this will be our 17th trip to Israel. And I think you're going to benefit from the experience that we'll be bringing to you.
So tell me where I can get more information, would you?
Yeah, to do that, you would just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And you can click on the banner right there labeled Israel 2019.
So how do I go about signing up?
This is what's going to be fun. To sign up, you would go to our website, and the way we're going to do it, because we have a national interest, is that on August 4th, so mark your calendar, on August 4th, it's a Saturday, at 12 noon Pacific time, the website will open up for signups. It will be first come, first serve nationwide. It's going to be August 4th, 12 noon Pacific time, and there you can sign up online for our 2019 March 24th to April 4th tour of Israel. You will not want to miss it. Get more information by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.